Thank you, Jeff. It's only about you, Lord. It sure is. And you know, think about this is July the 4th week. You know, it's July 1st, but I know July 4th is coming, and it reminded me again, where are we as a country? You know, 336 years, I think it is, if my calculations are right, later. Because if we look at the forefathers as they signed that Declaration of Independence, it was independence from other countries. It wasn't from God. There's every indication, I think, that as we look at the Declaration of Independence, that they were a group of people, even though not all of them were Christians, but they all were dependent upon God. But now it seems like we have a country that has become independent of God, which is not where He obviously wants us. If we look at the signs of that, I think it becomes clear that, like I said, all of them weren't Christians, but they all come to one agreement of one thing, that their dependence was on a supreme Almighty that was really in control of all things. They could all agree upon that. And what's more, it was clear that they, as they signed that Declaration of Independence, they were again, I want to say, declaring themselves only independent from king's power, specifically the English king. Psalm 22:28 says, "For the Lord is king." We just heard that saying. The Lord is king. He rules the nations. Certainly I understand and you understand that we elect people, and God should be the one that's ordaining who we elect. We certainly need leaders. We need people that have a unique understanding of direction of where we need to go as a nation. But like the family, it should be under God. And that was the intent of our founding fathers. That they recognized that we had to be dependent. They had to be dependent upon God. Consider what the Declaration of Independence said. First clause. It says, it makes a reference to God. It says, "Who gives to men the power to govern." Who gives? The reference is to God. Who gives men the power to govern? In the second paragraph, well-known statement, we all hold these truths, I think, to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. They understood this country was founded upon that. Clearly, the end, in summary, says, "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world." They all understood. A Bill of Rights was written. A Constitution was written. With these principles very soundly coming through. But today, now 236 years later, have we become independent from God? There's a signs of that, isn't there? I think many of us know those signs. We know the June 17th, 1963 ruling that prayer and scriptures would not be read or prayed in schools anymore. Since then, the posting of the Ten Commandments in classrooms has become unacceptable. I read a quote recently where an educational official, he said, concerning the Ten Commandments, he says, "We can't post the Ten Commandments in our classrooms. Children may read them and then want to follow them." Isn't that amazing? The position, I think, of our nation has taken over the last 60 years, at least in my lifetime, has been a continual departing from God and the dependence upon God, and we have become a country that wants to alienate ourselves away from God and become independent of ourselves. Maybe like this scripture that I read this week in Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Psalm 2, 1 to 3. The question is asked, "Why do nations rage? Why do the people waste their time with futile plans? Those are all questions. The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers plot together against the Lord and against the Anointed One. Let us break their chains, they cry, and free ourselves from this slavery. It seems like we now have a country that wants to free themselves from what they consider the slavery of being under God and being dependent upon God. It's almost like we have a country that says, let us do as we choose. And that certainly is going on. But I ask this morning again, are we now a country that's independent from God? And if we are, what are the repercussions according to His Word? What about the ramifications of such actions, of us becoming independent of God? Are there consequences? I'm going to wait until this scripture gets back up, but I want to see Psalm chapter 9, verse 17. Let's read this and really just let it kind of penetrate our hearts. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that, what? Forget God. Those few words are extremely serious to all of us of where our country is going, because that's the Word of God. I can tell you there's repercussions. We got a country that wants to be freed, and they want to have their freedoms okay to do as they got well pleased. But God says, no, you can't do that. He says, essentially what He's saying is the wicked's going down to hell, and the fate of all the nations that ignored God, we're gone with them. That's scary. Not that you and I as Christians aren't saved, but what's happening to our country? It's going down cesspool time, folks. America has been great because of this Declaration of Independence was written, and there was a dependence upon God of how we were to remain free. And I'm going to tell you that I fear the destruction of this country. I really do. You say, well, you shouldn't fear anything. Well, I fear for a lot of people because you and I have an opportunity. Can America be turned back from the ultimate destruction that it appears like we're going to? I'm going to say yes. It absolutely can be. Because I can tell you this, that we are still under the age of the grace of Jesus Christ. It still remains that we are under the grace of God. A well-known scripture. It's not wore out, folks. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it's not wore out. It didn't go away. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. A few short months, we're going to have an election again. And we've got politicians circulating now that's making all kinds of claims of how they're going to solve the problems from a political standpoint or from a government standpoint. Can they do it? I'm going to say an absolutely no, they can't. I'm going to tell you who I think can solve the problem. 2 Chronicles tells us, God's people, if we will only, we are the born again, blood bought people of God, saints of God, who has the absolute mandate to teach, to go, to tell, to teach, to make disciples, and to pray, to humble ourselves and to be willing to do something. I'm going to tell you, the president can't ever do it. The Congress can't ever do it. Your governor can't ever do it. There's no one in government that can really do it. It has to be from this group of people, I'm telling you, that's going to make a difference, because we're going to get on our knees and we're going to pray and we're going to seek the face of God, and we're going to see just what He will do whenever we get serious back the way the people that wrote the Declaration of Independence were. I think it's this group of people, the Christians of the earth, every boy, every girl, every man, woman, and child has got to be, again, dependent upon God, and just keep our focus there, because if we're dependent upon God, we will then be dependent upon this Word, and if we're dependent upon this Word, we are going to be telling other people, we're going to be leading other people, we're going to be making a difference in other people's lives to change one family at a time, folks. It's not a whole mass at one time. It's you and I going to talk to one family and make a difference in that family because they can see Jesus Christ in us. It's us reflecting ourselves. It's reflecting Christ to other people that's going to make changes. Because I'm going to say this, and you're saying you're really going out on a limb on this one, but I'm going to say it anyway. I believe with all my heart that the reason America is in the shape that she is today is because the church has failed to do what God had called it to do.
Amen.
By and large, the Christian. I said by and large. I'm not pointing this finger at anybody, but I'm just saying by and large, the Christian community no longer is totally dependent upon God. The wake-up call that we just had here in the last few days and might continue into the coming days is a wake-up call. You know, I was chatting with someone yesterday about how all the rest of the country, if you think about the Mississippi Valley and all the floods and down in New Orleans and the water coming in, if you think about the floods that were the swamp areas in Florida was on fire. If you see the raging wildfires in Colorado, if you see all of these dastardly acts that have occurred all over this country, but Ohio, if you look back, has been spared. But all of a sudden, God says, wake up, Ohio. Wake up, Coshocton. Wake up, Coshocton Baptist Church. Wake up to humble yourselves and to pray and to seek my face. And then see what I'll do. By and large, Christians are no longer dependent upon God. Let me read from Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 2. It's probably going to get there before I do, but has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? I want you to note that that's a small case letter on gods. But my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, for be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. We're not taking God and wrapping our arms around Him. We're not being fed by the Word of God. We're not allowing the Word of God to control our lives where we are dependent upon Him. But we have broken cisterns. We're allowing everything that might come in to get away from us. And that's what's happened to this country, I believe. This was God's case, incidentally, against Israel. And I'm going to say what He said to Israel, what He says in His Word doesn't change. It's as true now as it was then. Scary. We have made gods out of ourselves many times, making gods other gods. We ought to be weary of it. I know God is. I think He stands with this message this morning that comes out of 2 Chronicles. Chapter 7 and verse 4, there's a four-point message here, and there's a three-point promise that I want to hit real quick. First of all, to humble ourselves. To humble ourselves. We're no longer looking at what I can do, but we're looking at what God can do through me, and I'm seeking it. And I'm going to humble myself to allow Him to work through me to accomplish His will and not mine. You know what that means in a church? That means deacons deek. That means trustees trust. That means teachers teach. They edify, they lift up. That means we do, each one of us, we do what God has ordained us to do and given us a job to accomplish for Him, and not a one of us are exempt from the Great Commission. Humble ourselves. And then He says, pray. I put this in your handout because I believe in whenever God gave me that statement, I think prayerlessness is a sign of self-sufficiency. Whenever I can't get on my knees, if I can't get down on and pray and seek Him, and I'm not talking about just on Sunday morning or just one time a day. You know, the Bible tells us to be praying ever ceasingly. What does that mean? That means that I have an attitude of prayer. I want what God wants for me, and I don't want anything else but what God has for me. And so I pray in my mind. I'm connecting my mind to the very heart of God, which is what the next one is, to seek the face of God. My heart connected to the heart of God. Now that I have His heart, it becomes my heart, because my heart should be His heart. And so I seek the face of God. It's a giving myself to Him. It's a allowing Him to have total control of where I go and how I get there. It's a kind of a thing of, God, I really want to know Your ways, not my ways. There are few. I believe there are few that actually seek the heart of God. It says, seek my face. But it's really telling us to seek the heart of God. God, I want Your ways. Whatever I am to accomplish, whatever I am to do, I want to do it Your way. I want Your direction. I want to be in spirit with You. I want Your direction. Keep me sensitive to Your Spirit's conviction of me. Change my ways. When I fall into sin, convict me and lead me away from it. Grant me forgiveness so that I'm never hindering my prayers to be answered. Seek His face. Go to Him. Right before the throne of God. Forget your throne. It doesn't mean anything. It's going to burn up. Seek the throne of God and the one that's sitting upon it. Seek my face. God says, quit playing Mickey Mouse. Whenever we think about prayer, you know, tonight starts a series on prayer that's going to be eye-opening. Mike and I have talked about that thoroughly, and we agreed that if there's anything that this church needs to do is get back to a prayerful life, not just individually, but corporately. How we need to be a praying church, seeking. And then the fourth thing that He tells us is to turn from our wicked ways. The phrase, I think, kind of is self-explanatory and doesn't take too much explaining. I could speak a lot of things about what the wicked ways are, but let me say the wickedness of God hates the passion that's caused by our wickedness of idolatry. Whenever we are putting an idol above us or above Him, when we make something more important than Him, I think God hates anything that we put ahead of Him. I don't mean to say it hate, but He hates it. He says, I am number one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all the other things will be added unto you. Those other things that are important to you will be blessed after I seek Him and His direction. That's the direction the country has to change. Things in this church. You know, if we are to mentor, if we are to help grow, if we are to help others that come into this church grow in understanding and understand the things that we're talking about and be here on a Wednesday night and a Sunday night, you know, it bothers me, folks, that we can't be committed to come and to worship Him together and to study together and be an inspiration to every person that comes into this church. You, my friends, are the reflection of Jesus Christ. You ones that might be more mature in Christ, you are the ones that ought to be having a reflection to those ones that have need to grow in Christ. But whenever you're not here because you think you already know it all, I'm sorry. You're missing the boat because you're not sharing what you do have, the experiences that you do have, with others that need to grow. humble ourselves, pray, seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways, especially that idolatry, something where you're putting something before God and before people of God. We are the people of God who are supposed to grow the kingdom of God. And whenever we're home sitting in front of a TV or in front of a computer or whatever it might be, I don't think that's growing the kingdom of God. You know what? If we can finally grab a hold of this, if we can finally make this our lives, yes, we can change America. Yes, we can change our families. Yes, we can change our community. And yes, we can change the people that we're around. But we need to be fed. We need to be fed consistently. So do I. And it can't happen unless I'm seeking His face. But there's a threefold promise here. Whenever we do finally get to the point that God wants us, out of 2 Chronicles 7:14. There's a threefold promise here. He says, He will hear our prayers. He will hear our prayers. You thought, well, you know, God always hears my prayers. If you was here a couple weeks ago, there was one that said, no, that's not true. And I reflect that scripture again that comes out of Psalm 66:18, where the Bible says, if I harbor sin in my heart, if I allow the sin to be there and unrepented sin, it says the Lord will not hear me. If there's anything that's important to you, is to get your prayers through to God whenever that very difficult time in your life or where something is important that you got to have an answer. There can't be unrepented sin. It says, if I harbor, in other words, if I allow it to stay there, if I don't get it out of there, if I harbor it, the Bible says the Lord will not hear me. The second promise, He says, I will forgive your sin. You know, we ask God for a lot of things. We ask God to bless us here. We ask God to bless us there. We ask God for direction here and there. Help me. It's got to be with a clean heart, folks. And I'm going to tell you why. Because whenever you try to go to the throne of God, you can say, well, I'm going through Jesus. You're right. You're going through Jesus. But you know what? He wants us to come to Him with a clean heart. And the only way you can do is to repent, turn, and ask forgiveness. If we want to go cleanly to Him, we've got to ask forgiveness. Only God can give us that. Only God is the one that will lead us to confess and to forsake our sins so that we can get right so things can be answered. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 makes that clear to us. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we look at our outline, whenever we humble ourselves, we seek His face, we turn from His wicked ways, He will change us, He will lead us, and we will be blessed people, but not until. The last point, I guess, as we look at this morning, is if we do the things that He's called us to do, He says, I will answer your prayers, and I will forgive your sin. And here's what the basis was whenever I said, can this country be turned around? He says, yes. If you love America, He says, I will heal your land. I will heal your family. I will heal that relationship that's gone bad. I will heal your land, meaning I'll heal your home. I'll heal your relationships. I will heal you as a people so that you no longer have guilty feelings, but that you can be thankful that God has freed you from the burdens of sin and you can now march forward in His army to attain and to do His will. If we love America, these things can occur. America has many problems. But may I say, my Bible says that nothing is impossible for God to do. Nothing. But He calls upon us. There's always conditions. In the Word of God, there's always conditions that He lays down, and then the promises come. That's the way He works. But if we will allow Him, if we will draw close to Him, the Bible says He will draw close to us. He also says to the churches in the book of Revelations, in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Did you know a lot of people say Revelations? It's not Revelations, it's Revelation. I almost slipped. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. But in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, where we're talking about the church age, and one of the things that Jesus says Himself, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And that's the call I think God is making to us this morning. That we understand the drill. We understand the drill, and it's not anything new. We all know what it is. We just got to practice it. It's apparent that not God's plan today, at least. It's a plan that He has put together. And He wants us to practice that plan. He has asked the church from the beginning of time in churches to put Him before, to not have any other gods before us. I don't have to repeat the Ten Commandments. But I will say this morning, in the quietness of this place right now, it's my prayer that right in this moment that you will open up your hearts to what God has spoken to you and allow it to take root and react to Him. Are there things that you need to get right with God? You see, it's like revival time that I've spoken of many times. You first of all got to draw that imaginary circle around yourself and then look inside that circle and see where you are. To see what we need to change, to get right, and then become dependent people of God. Dependent people to God. Are you serving and helping grow His kingdom? Perhaps right now, as God's Spirit speaks to you, maybe you will allow Him. Maybe you'll allow Him to renew your, or to review your life, that you might see where you need to make changes. Become more committed to Him, dependent upon Him. Listen, God's plan for growing churches and to grow His kingdom has never changed. Because Matthew 28, 18 through 20 has never left. It's still in the Word of God. He intended it for it to be there for us to go and to tell and to teach and to make disciples. And whenever we're right, we will do it one family at a time. We'll do it one family at a time to draw them in. Before us is the VBS coming up. You know, the VBS children that you pull in here and you're willing to go and to register and to get to come to VBS, it becomes the springboard for to start up the Awana in a few weeks. As we start up Awana, we finally have the opportunity with a child coming out of a home that we now have the opportunity, if we'll finally get there, of going into that home and sharing with them, building relationships. You don't have to be the Bible beater that a lot of people want to think we do. But no, we got to go and to share and encourage and build relationships. And as we build relationships and we have other things to offer in this church, you invite them. You begin to build relationships and you invite them to come and to share what you know to be true. That one day, whenever the trumpet sounds and Christ calls you home, that you don't leave a bunch of people down here that I wish I would have. That shouldn't be where we are. We can change America, and every one of us can be a part of changing America. But it's got to be one home at a time, one family at a time, and to seek to seek the 2 Chronicles 7:14 and then receive the promise that's there. That becomes a question this morning. Will you? Will you make the necessary changes? Will you make the necessary adjustments in your life to fulfill the 2 Chronicles 7:14? Because once you do, this church won't have a vacant chair in it. Because you're going to want to make moves as Christ moves you through the power of His Spirit. May we all stand and pray together. Father, I thank You. I thank You for again revealing unto us Your direction. The vision that all of us need to have is Your vision, not our individual decisions and visions, but that we might seek Yours. And Lord, I'm asking You and I'm praising You and thanking You now as we go into this invitational time that You'll have Your way. And again, Lord, if there be one person here this morning that's never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray that this might be the morning of their salvation. And now, Lord, we give this invitational time to You. It's Yours. Have Your way with Your people. And I thank You for what You're going to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.